St. Louis Cardinals. Sending my dad, Jim Rogers, to Petco on Thursday to root against the Cubs. Probably be in Padres gear as they head out to the UCLA game. Mark Rogers, Dusty Dvorak on the Monsters of the Midday. Busy show. All right, we got Mark Sanchez coming up at 12:25. We got Bob Stoops at 1 o'clock. Going to play the chopping block today. Somebody's going to get a bunch of Mickey Mantles for free. We got a lot to do on a Wednesday. I am still stunned and shocked that we have not been able to find the horse lady.
I know, man. This is
no one on Twitter.
It's long term, though, Mark. I mean, are you giving up on long term? I mean, it's only been 24 hours since yesterday.
I told you, I'm willing to wait as long as we have to have her on. I'm just surprised that something like this has gone as long as it has. It's just gone a long time. I mean, is there a chance that she lives on a ranch like far, far away, and that she has no social media presence or no connection with the outside world, and all she connects with is animals?
Maybe she just talks to the horses. I don't know.
I think that's a possibility. I think it's something I'd be willing to consider after this point. Matt, how many views does the video have now?
Man, I haven't even checked in a while. Last time I checked, it was up to like 60,000.
I'm going over 70,000 at this point. There's no doubt.
You know, somebody accused me yesterday of faking this thing. They said it was too realistic.
That?
Oh, 203,000 views is where we're at now.
203,000?
It's going to go to a million, man.
That's incredible. Well done, man. This is you made your mark here in the Oklahoma City media with the horse lady.
Absolutely. Well, got to figure out how to cash some of these in.
And you didn't even take the video, though, right?
No. It was my girlfriend. My girlfriend took the video.
Well, she deserves all the credit here.
You're taking 1 million percent. Yes, she
deserves
all the credit.
You're taking her shine, man. What's up with that?
I should give her a little more shine.
What's
your
name?
Emily.
Emily's the MVP this week.
She's the real MVP.
We're giving Emily MVP treatment.
Was Emily concerned about like being outed? Was she concerned about being like her looking at her and stuff like that? Because, you know, there are times at which I want to take a picture of somebody, and I'm not very good at faking that stuff, but I don't want to get busted taking a picture of kind of some weirdness going on around.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways that you can kind of hold your phone that make it look like you aren't videoing someone. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not
like you're maybe just using it conspicuously.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gotten busted like while in the act of doing that, and you kind of like try not to make eye contact, and you kind of look up, and they're just staring at you?
Yeah, many times. That happens all the time.
You're a creeper.
Well, I mean, that's something that's worth looking at. I mean,
I don't think that she's worried about being videoed. It's not like she's sitting down, cowering down, and everybody's going, where's this coming from? I mean, she's standing up and belting it out, right? I mean, she's, if you've got a talent like that, I mean, what's the old saying? If you got it, you got to flaunt it.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, she was
proud.
Probably, what, maybe 5-6 winnies deep at that point? I mean, remember, they scored a lot on Saturday.
But if she doesn't have contact with the outside world, she could be like the Jungle Boy that she just doesn't know. She has no idea that that's just a normal deal for her.
The Jungle Boy.
I mean, I think all possibilities are still on the table at this point.
I'm with you on that. I want to go back to the, was it painful for you to, when Mark called for, because you always ask us any audio you want, and it was interesting, before I could even respond to the text, Mark's already saying, give me the walk-off for the Padres. Like, that's kind of low blow, isn't it? Like, he, without doing it, he's kind of rubbing it in your face. So I want to extend a little bit of concern for you, and my apologies that you had to go through that this morning.
That's all right. A World Series ring a couple of years ago makes up for that for sure. We'll see.
How long are you Cubs fans going to keep using that, Matt Ravis? I mean, come on, let's not
wait
live
a
in the
long
past
time.
Now.
Waited a long time.
Mark, how many World Series rings have you seen your Cardinals put on their fingers?
In my lifetime, 3. But several World Series. I've got to deal with Ravis. This is how it goes, man. It's the news of the night. I'm sorry that it was unfortunate for the Cubs, but if they're news
is
anti-Cardinals, we play it, right?
Well, no, here's Capital J journalism. We don't let the feelings get in the way here. Look, 7 of the last 10 for both these teams are against each other. That should be interesting.
I'm not just saying this. I believe this 100%. This is all sincerity. This race is not even close to over. With the schedules the two teams have, I mean, the Cubs are going to play a bunch of rummies after this series in San Diego, and the Cardinals have some playoff contenders, really basically all playoff contenders coming up the rest of the season. They have Milwaukee, Washington, Chicago, Arizona, Chicago. That's a tough schedule. Cubs got Pirates, Reds, whatever. I mean, that's easy. So it's not over yet. Cubs are starting to get out of their Cubs.
Is that a rum dum or is that drunken people on the bottle?
No, it's not. It's like a rum dum. I think rum dum. Yeah, like rummies. Like
I'd never heard rummies. I mean, I like it. Just wanted to make sure I know what I'm properly using it as.
The definition for that.
This is really our only chance at a divisional race this year, though, because just about every single other division's already wrapped up.
I looked at the National Series. The Cardinals get Strasburg, Scherzer. I'm not sure who else is going to that series, but they're going to have to earn those wins. St. Louis.
Question, has there been a bigger disappointment in baseball than the Philadelphia Phillies, guys?
They still may make it.
They might. Wild card. Sneak in the back door.
Game, and they have been a little disappointing this year. I agree with that. I mean,
spent a lot of money in the offseason to be third in that division. I mean, they're 5.5 back of the Nats, 14 back of the Braves.
Dusty, I would like to give you a little credit here. The number two definition from Rummy is simply a drunkard.
There you go.
It'd be a good way to describe the Pirates. They got a little violence, pirate on pirate violence going on in their clubhouse. Reds, same kind of situation. Know what's happening there. Philly's got a chance to get in there. I don't think it's disappointing. That division could have been. I think most of the people in the preseason picked Washington, and Atlanta was in the mix, and Philly was in the mix, but the Braves, wow, second half of the season, been really tough to beat. It's a good team.
Good young team, man. They got a nice nucleus.
They got good prospects, and they've got good prospects on the way. Okay, I saw a nice, interesting tweet from the Bear today. There are no ranked matchups this weekend in college football. None. I mean, last weekend we had a couple of really interesting games. Out of conference, LSU Texas, top 10 matchup. Texas A&M Clemson, perhaps the only challenge to Clemson this year. And this weekend we got no top 25 teams playing another top 25 team. But, he said, the last two times that have happened, it's not been very frequent on the calendar, there's been two upsets. Two top 25 teams have lost. So, any teams that you would put on upset alert this week in the top 25 against unranked opponents?
Yes, I got three for you.
Okay.
But this isn't a huge upset, but Iowa is a 2.5-point favorite. Iowa State catching almost a field goal at home. I think that's a very winnable game for them. Kind of handicapped this early in the week. I do give Iowa an advantage of their defensive line, but I also really like Iowa State's defense. I think with 2 weeks to prepare, I think we're going to see a much, much better Iowa State Cyclone team. So I think Iowa has got to be on upset alert. I think USC should be on upset alert against BYU in Provo. At the line of scrimmage, I'm not so sure that the better team isn't BYU. Now, what I don't know and what would worry me is, can BYU run with some of their skill players or receivers?
Yeah, that's the question of that one.
Huh?
That's the absolute question of that one, because the speed of USC undid Stanford last week.
But being on the road in Provo, where it's going to be a good crowd, if they can get to this freshman quarterback, how's he deal with that? So that's one. And I'll give you another one. Washington State, I think, should be on upset alert. Now, Washington State's had a great start to the season. And this Anthony Gordon, he's been the quarterback. He's been a great story. 9 touchdowns, just 1 pick. But they've beaten New Mexico State and Northern Colorado, the Bears. I would say, and those have both been in Pullman. That's less than a stellar competition. So I just think with Dana Holgorsen, the familiarity with his former coach and boss, and De'Aaron King and his athleticism, I think on a Friday night, short week down in Houston, should be a good crowd for the Cougs. The Sooners know what it's like. I think it's in that same stadium, Mark. I don't think it's in Houston. This is actually going to be played at
Energy Stadium,
Advocare Texas Kickoff Bowl. So I'm putting Washington State on upset alert as an 8.5-point favorite.
Anthony Gordon is thrown for 884 yards and 9 touchdowns in 2 games. That's a good pace.
So what do you think? What do you think about my upset alerts? I like those.
What do you got? Anybody else? You got anybody on upset alert?
I think it's going to be tough. Alabama does have a conference road game at South Carolina, but they've been really disappointing to start the season, losing the game to North Carolina as a double-digit favorite. Arizona State goes to Michigan State. We'll see what Herm Edwards can do in that one. Arizona State won that, so it's a good revenge spot for Michigan State. Those are kind of some of the other games. Kentucky's 2-0. Terry Wilson out for the year, torn his patella tendon. That's a terrible injury situation. Former Del City quarterback at Kentucky. So they've got depth issues at quarterback, but they've got Florida going there this week. That's only an 8-point line. So I'm not been high on Kentucky. They've got a lot of people to replace, but Mark Stoops done a nice, nice job with that program, so that could be there. There's some interesting stuff going on in Alabama with the Crimson Tide, and something that we are used to hearing around here. There was a little criticism in Mexico State last week. It was a good lock by Matt Meyer. Anytime you're given 55 points doesn't mean that Alabama's not 100 points better than New Mexico State, but the game kind of got iced down the stretch. So let me hear from Nick Saban on his scheduling, and then we'll talk a little bit about Alabama, the kickoff time, and about how it seems to be hotter in Tuscaloosa than it does anywhere else on Earth.
Do I think we can get better in games like this? I do. If you approach the game right and you practice the right way and you prepare and you have the right focus and you play to your standard, you can get better playing anybody. Would I rather play other teams? No disrespect to New Mexico State. Their coach works hard. Their players played hard. But if it's my philosophy that we should play 12 Power 5 schools, I'd say the answer to that would be yes. But that's a philosophical answer. All right, and that's not the way it is. All right, so I don't know why you would ask me that question, as if I could do something about it, when I can't do anything about it. So we're playing the best teams that we can get to play us. Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
I love that, because if he asked me that question, I'd be on the phone trying to schedule some big-time games for Alabama at home. And I thank you, Coach. I mean, I'd love to do it. I kind of like what he's selling. I mean, I buy what he's selling a little bit, Dusty, is that that guy has proven to me that he can motivate his team when there's really no opportunity to motivate. I mean, he's incredible at getting excellence, competing against themselves. I mean, because they've been consistently good for a long period of time. And so I think that I don't have an issue with that. And, you can get better against New Mexico State. You can get some guys on the field that normally wouldn't get on the field. You can build some depth in your program. At one game out of 12, they're going to play another easy game this season, but they're going to play enough hard ones where I got no problem with that.
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't like it, but that's part of college football. Look, I'm not going to get on to Nick Saban about scheduling tough. He schedules good games. And he's been very outspoken. He thinks that the SEC should play 9 conference games instead of 8. So I'm not going to – if anything, I am more aligned with Nick Saban's viewpoints on scheduling than not. So, yeah, I don't – this is just part of college football. But I will say, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, did anybody really get better, I mean, with South Dakota coming into Norman? I mean, you know, got a chance to.
No, I don't think there was a lot to learn from OU. I mean, yeah, but you get some players on the field. That's the only way. That's the only way you say it. I don't think your starters get better.
I get that. I mean, that's fine. And there's no question about that. But at the same time, I can also understand if fans don't like those games, that don't want to pay to go see those games. Those are, you know, sometimes tough games a player to get up for. I don't know. When there's that big a discrepancy of the talent on the field, I mean, it's kind of sometimes to me like, what are we doing here?
But well, he was pretty feisty about fans leaving the game early, which I don't think is an area that he should be concerned with. If you're playing New Mexico State and fans get out of there in the third quarter and the stands aren't very full in the fourth quarter, like, I don't really have much sympathy for you. That's part of that process. I mean, I don't know why he wants fans in the stadium in the fourth quarter, why that would be very important to him. The 11 o'clock kickoff thing, though, it is kind of funny that Alabama doesn't want to play these 11 o'clock games. Oklahoma don't want to play the 11 o'clock games. Nobody wants to play the 11 o'clock games. I love the 11 o'clock games. They don't bother me one bit. I like them. But I understand that a majority of people don't like them, but they're trying to say that it's too hot. It's too hot in Alabama to play at 11. What was the temperature in Austin on Saturday night?
It was a scorcher.
98?
Crazy hot.
Yeah. Well, it's not as hot at 11 as it is at 6 at any time.
Ever. Or at 2:30 in the afternoon, which is the other window. I mean, I don't know what people want sometimes. It's hot in September. I mean, I don't know. I mean, coaches and complaining about kick times, I've heard enough, man. Nobody is upset when they get those massive deals from the TV networks and all that money's flowing in and all that money's being spread around all throughout the athletic department. Nobody's upset then. I listened to it 2 years ago from Pac-12 coaches complain and gripe about playing at night, which it's 7:30 their time is typically when those West Coast games kick. Well, they don't want to play then. Well, they can't play in the 11 o'clock window. They talked about that. That makes no sense because that's 9 on the West Coast. So that really leaves one time slot. It's like nobody's happy with kick times. I'm just, I've had enough of it. Everybody just complains. Complain, complain, complain. I mean, this just in southern parts of the country, in September, there's a decent chance it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot at 11. It's going to be hotter at 2:30. And it's probably going to be even hotter at 6 o'clock. So I don't know. Maybe they should start the football season later, Mark. Would that make everybody happy? Would that make Nick Saban happy?
You're all right. They're not giving money back to play. Yeah, they can give all the money back and they can play whenever they want, temperature-wise or fan-wise. I'm at C&W Tire, 25 North Council Road, 787-6711. We are conveniently located a block north of Reno, just off of Interstate 40. You can look for the big Michelin sign if you can't find us. Specials going on today, free flat repairs for passenger vehicles, $30 off all air conditioning services. They've been in business for 40 years. Family business that stands for customer service. They sponsor the T&W Tire Locks of the Week, which help you win money. We will do that tomorrow in the 1 o'clock hour. Dusty, Carter Chevrolet, what's happening?
That's right, where they're making friends selling cars in that order. How about new 2019 Chevy Cruzes for $13,995? New 2019 Silverado Crew Cabs, $34,250. Also, lifted Silverados, $40,900. Come see the chicken guys at Carter Chevrolet in Okarchi. Mark Sanchez, ESPN and ABC, former NFL quarterback, join the Monsters next.
Thursday morning at 8:30, it's Fantasy Football with the Morning Animal.
Studios, welcome to the show. One of the newest members of the ESPN ABC family. You see him on Saturdays in the studio. Former USC Trojan and NFL quarterback, Mr. Mark Sanchez. What's up, buddy?
Dusty, Mark, thanks for having me. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing well. Great. All right, before we get into the college football and all that, I bragged on myself a little bit. And just my partner Mark, he's like a professional driver. Okay, I mean he can wheel a car.
I'm gonna cut you off right there. He's got nothing on you, dude.
Tell him about the effort I made from Bristol to Hartford, Mark.
Dude, I don't know if I could talk about that publicly. I don't know how many laws were broken, Dusty. Holy cow, it was unbelievable.
Did you make your flight?
Bristol is not. That's not like a 2.5 mile oval speedway either, right? I mean, you got a lot of two-lane roads to navigate.
Oh, this is like a road course. It was awesome.
So, but I mean, it was your first time in the studio at Bristol. You know, you're one of the new guys, and I've been there a little while, so I felt like, you know, part of being a team player, I was trying to be like El Capitan, and I was like, I got to get my guy to his flight. So I was very happy, Mark, to know we made it just in the nick of time, and you got to check your bag, so all is well.
Oh, got to check the bag. We were on set, and so you guys know the difference between when you're taping and live on a segment. So the first day of College Football Live, we do it live. The second day, we tape. Well, when we're taping, there's all these delays. There's technical things. People say the wrong thing, and we start over. So this thing starts going later and later, and I start looking at Acho and Dusty, and I said, hey, guys, I got to play it. Am I allowed to say something, or do I just have to rebook? Like, how does this work? So they're like, don't worry, we'll figure it out. And I said, oh, there's no chance I'm making it. And then Dusty comes up with the Hail Mary, man. It was unbelievable. He got
Just call me Doug Flutie, bro. Just call me Doug Flutie.
I love it.
We got it done. Hey, let's talk about your alma mater. And you and I were also in L.A. together back in July. And you just kind of said, you know, there's some things going on, you know, with the university. And you basically let it be known, just you don't know what's what. How surprised were you after a huge win over Stanford that Lynn Swann and the university part ways from him being the athletic director? Just kind of walk us through, Your thoughts on that and kind of what's next for USC and their athletic director?
Well, I thought you bring up a good point. We were at Pac-12 Media Day, and that was my first day really on the job after signing my contract like the week before or something. So that's where I get to cut my teeth on College Football Live, and we did it on set. And, you know, we were talking about USC and global issues going on. They have a new president and some stuff going on with the med school. And, you know, there's a lot of big questions up in the air, not just football, you know. And so after this huge win, these guys start out 2-0. Well, hold on. First, they lose their quarterback. Then they get this young kid who comes out and rips off at one point 12 completions in a row, throws for, you know, 300 yards or whatever, and three touchdowns. I mean, it was an incredible day and a huge high for the school. They had just introduced their new president, Dr. Folt, to the team maybe a week before or 2 weeks before, and then, you know, Lynn Swann gets fired. So it seems like really strange timing. Either my only thought was like maybe because of the emotional high and all the good press that you try and slide this in, almost like a political move, like just to sweep this one under the rug and move on and part ways with Lynn Swann. Or I guess my only other thought was this was maybe an item on the agenda that the president had at a certain point and was just going through different things. She was charged with finding a new provost, and, you know, she had a list of other things that she had to get done when she took the job. So a little weird on the timing, but maybe it's a combination of those two things, you know, riding the emotional high and then throwing this in there to soften the blow. But that was kind of all I could really come up with. Nobody's really talking about it too much.
On the field, though, they were rolling in the first game. You lose your starting quarterback, and it kind of sets them back a little bit, which is understandable. They hold off Fresno. And then last week they explode behind this freshman quarterback against Stanford. I mean, that's, to me, really impressive. I didn't expect things to go that well, especially when they were dealt a big dose of adversity so far.
Oh, no doubt. And that's the thing. Like, you don't know how this team's going to respond to adversity with their starter, let alone a backup. So that's, I mean, those kind of things emotionally for a team are difficult to deal with. And, you know, they did it double time. You know, it was an impressive win. But I flew back from my first week of doing college football right after JT had gotten hurt. And Sunday morning, I walked in the building to go at USC to go watch a bunch of tape and stuff. And I see Coach Helton, and he just grabbed me and took me in his office. And he told me right then, he said, JT's going to be done. It's his ACL. And we're going with Keaton, but I'm telling you, this kid's special. And that's all he would say, is this kid special? I saw him play in Arizona, he's special. And I said, okay, well, we'll see. And he said, we're not holding back. I know what people think. We got to just run the ball and play good defense and special teams. He's like, we're going to let him throw it. We're going to let him play. And we think he can do it. And, I mean, he sure passed the test at home this past week. And now, you know, the message out of there is really turn the page. Enjoy it for 24 hours, but turn the page and show me you can do it on the road.
You know, you obviously had a ton of success as a quarterback there. There's been a lot of good quarterbacks. I mean, from your vantage point, small sample size, but what did you like and how good do you think this kid can be, Mark?
You know, he was just stoic out there. I mean, he didn't show almost a lack of emotion. I wanted him to get a little excited at some point because he's kicking butt. You know, not over the top where it's like, hold on and slow your roll, but just I was impressed with, I mean, they're down 17-3 at home. And the kid didn't flinch. He didn't even bat an eye. And he's completing balls. Like I said, he ripped off 12 completions in a row. And I don't care who you're playing. That's tough. I was a little surprised that Stanford didn't pressure him as much. Very little pressure, actually, going back to the tape and stuff. A couple all-out pressures, but it was an all-out pressure that took down JT Daniels. So I would expect that from BYU. These guys are going to be charged up, man. That's a tough place to play. They're a physical group. Guys who have gotten looked over by some other colleges, so they got a chip on their shoulder. And this is not going to be an easy contest. These guys are going to have to withstand an emotional surge from that crowd and that team early on and then see how they bounce back.
All right, what in the world is going on in Westwood? They had a ton of starters back. You think things are going to get better this year under Chip Kelly's second season, and they're giving away tickets for people to come see Oklahoma this week. It's crazy.
Y'all better take it easy on them.
Do you think there's any fight left in them?
Dogs, man.
I mean,
you better call off the dogs.
Is UCLA, I mean, can Chip get it turned around there? I mean, you know that area very well. I mean, are you, I mean, losing to Cincinnati, losing to San Diego State, I mean, is there any way that this ship gets righted?
Well, the way to do it is recruiting, and it's hard to recruit that way, recruit the players you need when you're losing to schools like you just mentioned. You know, when you're losing to schools that aren't Pac-12 schools or Power 5 schools, then yeah, what's going to make that 4- and 5-star kid say, yeah, I want to go there? You know, so, and that's not it. I mean, SC has kind of lost some of those recruits in the L.A. area. There's, I mean, perfect example, the kid from Bellflower, California, is going to Clemson, the big quarterback from St. John Bosco. I mean, are you kidding me? That's right down the street from the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl. Like, how do these two schools not get somebody like that? You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff can't happen if you're going to be a top program out here. I mean, Coach Carroll used to go and poach players from the South, from Florida, from Texas, you know, and now that's happening here, not just by the big schools, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, but it's happening with teams in the Pac-12. So they're losing a bunch of their top recruits in L.A. It's hard to compete, man.
It's a good point.
No, it definitely is. Talk about the Pac-12. I thought Oregon showed well against Auburn. I mean, tough loss. I thought the league needed that. Oregon needed that, and they played well enough for most of it to win, but they lose. But I thought, you know, really devastating last weekend, late night, Cal beating Washington. It keeps Oregon alive. Is Pac-12, are they going to be left out again?
Well, the problem is they're going to. This is what we said in a couple of the College Football Live segments. These teams are going to cannibalize each other. You know, even if all the talent, let's say, is in the north of the Pac-12, the Washingtons, the Washington States, you know, Oregon, all that, they're going to beat each other up. And they're not. They don't have the juice like the SEC has, so they can't make it in with a 1- or 2-loss season. Somebody's got to go undefeated from here. And I still think the real shot is for Utah. And they're going to have to win big against USC. If USC wins next week, they're going to have their hands full too. So it might be a shift of power to the South if those northern teams cannibalize each other. But Oregon could have a shot, right, now that Washington's lost. If Oregon wins out, wins the Pac-12 championship, then, you know, they'll make a case. But I don't know if they beat out, you know, 1- or 2-loss Georgia or, you know, teams like that. I don't know if that happens.
Utah's defensive front is great, but do they have enough speed to stay on the field with a team like USC? Can they compete in the back end and on the offensive end? Same situation.
That quarterback and running back can definitely play. What USC has going for them are those three wideouts, man. They got three legit number ones in Michael Pittman Jr. and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then the kid Tyler Vaughns, who went off the other night too. So he's had 2 100-yard games. And that's going to be the saving grace for this kid, Keaton Slovis. He's just got to give those guys opportunities. And that's going to be their ticket, man. But that's the other thing, too. When you're playing a young kid, you know there's going to be some growing pains, right? They're going to play other veteran teams. There's going to be growing pains. So everybody's got to tighten up. Everybody's got to play well. Special teams, defense. There's no substitution penalties. You know, there's no false starts. There's no, two guys with the same number on kickoff. Like, that kind of stuff has to be eliminated because there's already going to be screw-ups and mishaps on the quarterback, which is natural because he's young. So you can't compound those mistakes, and that's really going to be their only chance.
Outside of the Pac-12, who's impressed you this point in college football? Give me a team or two that you said, man, that team's legit.
How about Maryland? Mm-hmm. You guys are running up the scoreboard, man. They got running backs. They got wideouts, a trigger man, and Jackson. They're playing really well. I was happy for Coach Locksley. You know, people were talking bad about him after he left Alabama, and he sure is lighting up the scoreboard. So I'm happy for him. He spent a training camp with us, and gosh, where the heck was I? I played for too many teams, Dusty. I forget. It was one of those teams, but he was with us in training camp, and he was great, man. He was a good offensive mind, fun coach's guy or player's coach. So he was fun to be around. And then I'm impressed with Jalen Hurts. This dude's putting up video game numbers every week. You know. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited for them to play a big time team, and that'll probably be, you know, Texas will probably be the first one, right?
Yeah. No question. How's the booth as opposed to not the booth? I guess the studio desk as opposed to being in a locker room? Are you, you know, with week one of the NFL in the books, are you like Jones to be back on the field, or are you getting more settled in right at home sitting there at a desk?
I think as a player you always miss, you know, the locker room, the bus rides, the plane rides, all that kind of stuff. I'm just lucky to have guys like Kevin and Jonathan Vilma and Rob Lindley, our producer. Those guys have been so fun for me, and we got a funny group text chain going, and it feels like you're part of a team. So I think that makes it a little easier to transition. But, you know, any player, I don't care if you're a Hall of Famer or you only played for one season and you're on practice squad, you're going to miss it a little bit. So I see all my guys out there. I'm sending texts and listening to games and rooting everybody on. But it's been a fun transition, and I'm lucky to have such a good team.
Well, I'm glad you survived the white knuckler back to Hartford.
That
is a good result.
I'm going to be out in LA on Sunday. I'm doing Rams and Saints on Sunday.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you're looking to if you want to get on like the PCH, or if you want to go on like a wild ride, look me up. I'm sure you got some type of sports car that I can get behind the wheel of. We could have some fun.
There we go. I'll go rent one.
Very good, man. Hey, have a good time in the booth this weekend or at the studio desk, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks, Mark.
Really appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Mark Sanchez just joining the ESPN family. You can catch him on ABC, as he mentioned, with Kevin Negandhi, as well as Jonathan Vilma, as they are, I think, there every Saturday throughout the day of college football. I'm usually working, so I don't know. But I know that those guys definitely have a lot of fun and enjoy college football. Marcus, I'm telling you, championship effort. I was thinking of you the whole time.
I believe it.
I was trying to get to the airport.
I believe it. Then again, like I said, that is not an easy drive. That's just not like getting on a three-lane, wide-open highway, interstate, because that is some rough terrain in there. Can I tell you where I am today?
I'm dying to know. What's going on?
I'm at C&W Tire, where, you know, some days you have perks and some days kind of, you know, it's not as good. But today we had the perk of Cattleman Steakhouse dropping off some delicious steak. Unbelievable. It was outstanding. So we want to thank Cattleman's for bringing some steaks to us at T&W Tire. They've got a couple specials working for sports animal people, free flat repairs for passenger vehicles, $30 off all air conditioning services. And just give them a call, 787-6711. Your check engine light is on. They will fix it. They're more than just a tire shop. They've been in business for 40 years. They got locations all over everywhere. But we love specifically this location here at 25 North Council Road. Dusty, you're ready for Carter Chevrolet today.
That's right. Where they're making friends, selling cars in that order at Carter Chevrolet. New 2019 Chevy Cruises, $13,995. 2019 Silverado Crew Cab 4x4s, $34,250. And new lifted Silverados at $40,900. Come see the chicken, guys. Carter Chevrolet right across the street from me. Legendary Ishans and Okarchi. They are great people making great deals. Here's the deal also. We're paying the chopping block when we get back because we have Bob Stoops at 1, Jake Trotter at 125. Now is your chance to win a $75 gift card to Mickey Mantle Steakhouse. First caller is a winner, 460-9957. The chopping block next on the Monsters.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
My former teammate, he's laughing.
Bob Stoops coming up at the top of the hour. It is now time to play the chopping block. We already have a participant on the line. And so, Matt Ravis, would you introduce to us our participant, and would you please set the parameters for today's debate?
Absolutely, I would. We have Adam Baker on the line. Hello, Adam.
How's it going, guys?
First and last name.
What's up, Adam?
Not much.
Okay, so the parameters here is I'm going to give a question here. You guys are going to answer it. That's simple. One of you guys are going to pick a side of this debate. The question is about college football this weekend. Who's on upset alert? And I think we agreed, a touchdown favorite for it to be considered an upset?
Yes.
All right, so who wants to go first?
Doesn't matter. You want me to go first? Yeah, I'll go first. How about that?
I think Mark took it first last time.
Okay, very good. We're going to see an upset this week, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen before we even get to the weekend. You know, the last time that we had a weekend where there was no unranked, or there was no ranked matchups, we had 5 upsets that weekend. Did you know, though, that 2 of those happened on Friday night? That's when Clemson took down Syracuse, and I was on the call the other game. It's when Cal beat Washington State. And we're going to go right back there. There's some symmetry here, Adam. Stay with me. Washington State's playing Friday night against the Houston Cougars. Okay? Neutral site game. And everyone's riding high with Washington State right now, man. They're blowing people out. They beat up on New Mexico State. They beat up on Northern Colorado. They got this quarterback. He's thrown for 884 yards and 9 touchdowns. He won the job and no one even thought he did. I mean, it's a great, great story. And so they're an 8.5-point favorite this week against Houston. Well, it's a neutral site game, but ask the Sooners from 2016. Playing in that stadium in Houston, it's going to be a home game for the Houston Cougars. And guess who knows Mike Leach very well? Dana Holgorsen. Played for him back in college. Also coached for him and learned basically everything he knows from him when he was on his staff at Texas Tech. So they've got a great understanding of each other, and I think that only helps Houston because one thing, Mike Leach hasn't changed, but Dana's been able to adapt and adjust what he's done offensively. And I think that we saw this Houston team in Oklahoma, and I don't think we saw them at their best. Now, third week with Dana there as the offensive coordinator, I think De'Eriq King, this offense, can have much better understanding of what's expected. I think De'Eriq King is going to light it up, kind of like we saw in the second half against Oklahoma. It's only going to be in the entire game in this one. Houston isn't going to cover the 8.5. They're going to win the damn game Friday night for the first upset to get this crazy, potentially crazy weekend off and running.
All right. I don't think that's a bad one. I don't know that Mike Leach has ever lost against a former assistant, but very well could be the first one on Friday night. All right. Adam, are you named after Baker Mayfield?
Not at all.
Okay, very good. Here's the upset. Kentucky's going to beat Florida. I can tell you that I kind of thought Kentucky might take a step back in week one against Toledo. Picked against them, and boy, was I wrong. I think Mark Stoops has got that program going in the right direction. They won 10 games last year. People didn't give them a chance to beat Penn State in the bowl game. They've reloaded. They lost their quarterback. Howard Goodwin came in the other night, threw 2 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter, named Sawyer Smith. They also have the best name in college football. A running back that's averaging almost 10 yards a carry right now, Kavassier Smoke. So, Adam, I ask you right now, how can you go against the best name in college football, Kavassier Smoke, that's going to run through Dan Mullen's defense, and Lexington, Kentucky is going to party like it was a huge basketball win on Saturday night? They're going to beat Florida as an 8-point underdog, just like they did a year ago.
Who's the quarterback?
Sawyer Smith.
Okay.
All right, so Dusty, you had Houston over Washington State.
Correct.
Mark, you had Kentucky over Florida.
Correct.
So, Adam, who do you like?
I'm going to have to pick Kentucky over Florida, Mark.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it very much. I think the Wildcats got a good chance to take out Florida. Got some questions on the offensive line.
So there you go. Adam wins a $75 gift card to Mickey Mantle's.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it, man.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. Be happy either way. How can you go against Kavassier Smoke?
I had never even heard that name. That's incredible, Kavassier Smoke.
You got to do the voice though if you're going to say Kavassier, right? Was that
it's
the lady's
spelled?
Name?
It's spelled a little different than Kavassier, the whiskey. K A V O S I E Y.
I would love to see Mark Stoops' crew.
I wonder what Bob Stoops knows about Kavassier Smoke.
I don't know, but
he's probably well versed.
Losing their quarterback, that's a big loss, brother.
I hate to say this, but it's not like he's been the star of the team. I don't
Terry
know what
Wilson?
The backup. Yeah, he's just kind of. I think they've really done it more with Benny Snell and running game, and he's just kind of done enough.
Okay, I like it. I like it a lot. I like the pick. I will be rooting the Kentucky Wildcats on, Marcus. Hey, I'm in today for the fine folks at Carter's Chevrolet, where they're making friends selling cars in that order. Come see the chicken guys out in Okarchi across the street from the legendary Eichens. They got new 2019 Chevy Cruises, $13,995. New 2019 Silverado Crew Cab, 4x4s, $34,250. New lifted Silverado starting at $40,900. It's all right there at Carter Chevrolet. Mark, what's going on at TNW Tire?
We're fixing your car, man. I mean, if you've got something wrong with it, they'll take care of it. Your check engine light is on, 787-6711. Set up an appointment or just bring it in. See if you can get in one of the bays here. $30 off all AC services for Sports Animal listeners. Free flat repairs for passenger vehicles. They've been in business for 40 years. They're going to take care of your vehicle. They can be trusted.
to be around that long and have multiple locations all across not only Oklahoma but the Midwest part of the United States. 787-6711 TNW Tire.
Bob Stoops next.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma versus UCLA is live on 9.
Verlay, is it welcome to the show? Former coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, the coach of the Dallas XFL franchise, and he's got a brand new book out, No Excuses, Coach Bob Stoops. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great. How are the monsters of the midday doing today?
We're doing awesome, Coach. We're doing awesome. I was fired up yesterday. I have not gotten it yet. But your book came out. I knew this was in the making. I had a chance to talk with Gene Wojciechowski, who's an excellent writer, and I can't wait to read it. But I actually think, Coach,
you're a part of it. You got quotes in there.
Awesome. I can't wait to see what it looks like. Now, here's the question I have for you, though, Coach. Do I want to buy the paperback, or do I want to get the audio version?
Well, you got a good point there, because I narrated the audio version. I couldn't see. The way everybody tries to imitate my voice, I didn't trust anybody else doing it. and I didn't think it'd be right if it was someone else's voice. So I took a lot of time to do that. Boy, was that hard. You have to enunciate every single word. And, you know, when you read, you don't realize how much you skim over. Get the audio version.
Well, here's the deal. This worked for anybody. I mean, you got to have one of those. If you're an OU fan, I mean, I've got quite a collection of books. You got to have one of those on the shelf. I mean, you just have to. And then I would definitely want to hear the audio version because, Coach, you do have a very highly impersonated voice. It is distinct. I would think that you could go both ways.
So I've come to realize. I've heard it a few times through the years. But, you got to get a signed copy, Dusty. I'll have to get another box, and I'll get you one.
You kidding me? Absolutely, I'd love one. How was that, Coach? That all right? That okay?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I heard that a time or two. Talk to us about the book, Coach. I can't wait to see kind of what's in there. Two things. One, what gave you the idea to put kind of your career and what you've done in a book form, and then for the people listening, kind of what's in there? What exactly did you guys dive into?
Well, first of all, I get asked all the time about how do I take this journey? Like other coaches, young coaches or coaches at different levels, I want to get to college. I want to be a head coach. I want to do this. And I'm like, I only can talk to you for 10 minutes. I can't give you that. Like and everybody's life's different, you know. So as well as I get asked all the time how we turned it around so fast in the second year, went into national championship, and then how did we, you know, it was so consistent for 18 years, 20 years now, you know, just constantly in the, you know, so many great years. How'd you maintain the consistency? So, again, I just asked that so many times that I just said, you know what? I'm just going to – this is my journey. This is how I became a head coach, and this is our philosophies and our attitude at OU when we won as much as we did and when we turned it around so quickly, you know. There's a lot of fun stories in there growing up. You'll laugh. There's a story in there. You guys ever play hide the strap?
Hide the what?
Strap. We called it a strap. So we would, as neighborhood kids, there'd be 20 of us. One person would hide the belt in the back between our 2 yards. We had little yards. Between 2 or 3 yards. And everyone would go searching for the belt. Whoever got the belt got to whip everybody and all the way running back to home base, all the way like three houses up to home base with somebody's porch, three houses up. So... That's just an idea of the games we played in Youngstown.
That's got to be some fascinating stuff there. What I like, I grew up going to Oklahoma football games from the time I was 5 years old. Got to see all of the great tradition of Coach Switzer, and then things kind of went away for a little bit with Gary Gibbs. I'm sure tough act to follow, and then John Blake here. And when you came, what
stands out to me on the first press conference is no excuses. And 2 years later, you'd won a national championship. So I think that's the perfect title for the book, is that there had been a lot of excuses going on for a few years at Oklahoma. And I think that really hit home with a lot of people. Was that a natural choice for you for a title of the book?
It was, and it was my natural feeling when I said it, you know, when I was introduced, that this program's about championships. That's our heritage. We've done it for decades, and that's what we're going to do. And if we don't, there's no excuses. I mean, you got to win, and that's why I did it. But, you know, actually, one of the publicists, you know, threw that idea out, and I was like, oh, that's a perfect, you know, title for the book. And the other part, making of a head coach, because, as I said earlier, so many people ask me, how did you do this? And it's just hard to say. You know, I can't, you know, it just sort of, fortunately, I had a path that led me to it.
Coach, you know, you just talk about that heritage. One of the things, and I just kind of tweeted yesterday, I mean, the impact you've had on mine and so many of your players' lives, the values and accountability that we were taught and that you instilled in us is just, you know, things that stick with us forever. But as a kid coming from Dallas who really didn't know a lot about Oklahoma football, was coming to play for you and Coach Mike and what you guys had going, what I really appreciate, especially now looking back, you made it such a point from day one to let everyone know what came before us, what the tradition was like, what the, you know, Oklahoma football is all about. When did you know that was something that you wanted to make a staple of bringing the old guys back? And you'd show us videos of Joe Washington and the Selmans. And when did you know that how important that would be to let us know the guys that laid the foundation of Oklahoma football?
Yeah, it was important. First, it was important that everybody knew when we first got there, this is what we're supposed to be like. And we're not there right now, but you're to play like that, and we're to be these kind of teams. And I wanted everyone to know we're not shying away, that this is the kind of team we're supposed to be, and we need to start living up to it. And then once we started to live up to it, and you know, as you came along and other guys, I wanted everyone to always know this university wasn't built around you. You know, that there's all of these guys ahead of you that were, you know, that were great players. And look, and coaches, I always, as you remember, I always said, look at the coaches that are ahead of me. What Coach Switzer, Coach Wilkinson, you know, there's a lot of great coaches ahead of me too. I got to live up to that. So I always wanted us to know what the standard was, and for my players to always not get the big head like they made Oklahoma. This program is bigger than any one of us, and I always finish with, you would notice, including me, I would say. So, meaning the program's bigger than any one of us, and I'd say including me.
All the time. And that was, if I heard it once, I heard it several hundred times. And that was a message that was beaten to our heads and one that we all bought into. Mark, go ahead.
I'm a big believer in the coaching tree, the fraternity of coaches, and picking up things from guys that you respect. And you can also pick up things from other guys that you respect along the way. So I'm curious as to what part of the book Hayden Fry, Bill Snyder, and Steve Spurrier, who are, you know, legends of college football.
Yeah, all of those guys. And the assistant coaches I was around at Iowa were huge mentors to me and great friends. But, you know, you can pick up little things from everybody. Hayden Fry, you know, the swagger. The detail from Bill Snyder, the swagger and attitude with Coach Spurrier, and his you know, his genuine joy for the game and the competitive situation, you know, was something I learned to really. And he just looked forward to it and embraced it, and I did more and more that I was around him. When you really can't wait for the moment, you do better in it. You do better in that moment, you know. So anyhow, there's a lot that goes into each of those guys, especially Coach Spurrier.
Coach, talk with Bob Stoops, former Oklahoma head coach, about his book, No Excuses. You can get now both hardback as well as on audio. When you went back and you looked at it, because I know, you know, as a coach and as a player, it's the next game. You're always looking forward. Rarely do you get a chance to look back and reflect. But now that you've been retired a few years, and I'm sure putting this book together, there was a lot of reflection. Is there a moment or two that really stand out as you look back over your tenure at Oklahoma that really stood out to you?
Well, you know, for sure. You know, some of the I detail it, like the Texas A&M game in 99 is when I felt we had turned the corner. You know, A&M had been whipping up on us for several years, beating us bad, had just won the Big 12 championship the year before. And I told our guys, and I said, we're not taking this anymore. We're Oklahoma. This isn't – we're not – you know, this isn't happening anymore. And if we're going to do something, we're going to make a statement. It was that day, homecoming, and what did we beat them, like 51-6 or 50? We beat the heck out of them. And it was homecoming, and I really felt that's when we really turned the corner. And then it led into next year when we won the national championship. And then the national championship, some of that year, those moments were incredible. You know, the Nebraska game, when we haven't stormed the field since. I'm not advocating it out there, by the way, but when everybody stormed the field after we beat Nebraska, who was ranked number one, was incredibly special. I remember being interviewed under the goalpost where they're tearing it down with Lynn Swann. Lynn Swann was the, you know, was the sideline reporter at the time. And anyhow, it goes on and on. You know, been so lucky so many years. There's so many, gosh, you know. And then when the book's kind of done and it's beyond changing things, I was like, oh, I forgot about this. I forgot about that. You know, you start to even remember more great moments. So, but anyway, a lot of them are detailed in there.
You know that, just real quick, Coach, that,
yeah.
That's the day that I committed to you, that Nebraska game in the weight room after. That's a day that I'll never forget as long as I'm alive. And that was as electric an atmosphere, probably still to this day, as I've ever been a part of or been at. And it was amazing. And I just thought, oh my God, I gotta be a part of this. But that was the day that I like to say I made one of the best decisions of my life. But that was a special day for a lot of people, Coach.
No question. That was a big one. That was as fun as it. That was one of the more special ones for me too.
Coach, you mentioned autographed copies. Do you have any signings lined up yet, or will you release a schedule of some appearances that you're going to make here in the near future?
You know, I'm surprised. I don't. You know, I'm not in charge of all that. I guess some publicist or somebody is. So, but I don't know yet. But I'll be sure to thank you for that. I'll let you guys know for sure whenever there is one or when they're going to have them. I really haven't heard yet. I'll have to ask that. I'm new at this. So.
All right, Coach, last thing, I do want to ask you, because I know people always love to get your thoughts. Just, it's only been 2 weeks, but what are your thoughts about this Oklahoma football team, especially Jalen Hurts, the quarterback?
I think they look great. You know, it's hard to tell always, you know, with level of competition. I get it. But you can also not look real sharp against, you know, this type of competition too. I thought we've looked really good, really, and Jalen, I think, looks super. I know. Thank you. You know, I think people need to respect. I hope that, you know, he has that level of expectation for himself, and that's great. I think he's got a huge future. I think he'll only get better as he gets more games under his belt and more and more comfortable in game situations in this offense. But he's a talented guy that really throws a great ball. So, you know, I think he's going to have a huge year.
Coach, we appreciate your time, man. Let us know when you get the signings lined up. You can get it on – you can get everywhere. You can buy purchase books, get the audio book as well. And we always love talking with you and looking forward to seeing the book.
All right, Mark, Dusty, thank you. Good to be with you guys, Coach.
Always a pleasure. And, again, no excuses to making – of a head coach by Bob Stoops and Gene Wojciechowski. Can't wait to pick that one up. From that note to a very sad, somber note, Mark, I haven't seen it yet, but you sent me the text. Breaking news for the Oklahoma State family.
Yeah, it looks like Boone Pickens has passed away.
in Dallas. And so that's a sad deal for Oklahoma State. 91 years old, born in Holdenville, and a guy that changed the future of the Oklahoma State Athletic Department forever with his generous donation and what he's done in Stillwater to build up the infrastructure there at Oklahoma State, partnering with Mike Holder. And it's got to be a sad day for all the Oklahoma State Cowboys out there. That guy was extremely successful in business. And, again, I don't think you'll find anyone more influential on Oklahoma State University than T. Boone Pickens.
Yeah, I think that's well said. You know, he's been fighting, you know, poor health for several years now, right, Mark? And just thoughts and prayers go out to the Pickens family and to all the Oklahoma State family. And just, I think that's exactly right. I mean, it's T. Boone Pickens Stadium. The financial contributions he made to the university, I think, just allowed them to take a huge step forward. And just had such an impact on so many different things that have transpired there. But this broke literally while Coach Stoops was on here in the last 5 to 7 minutes. And I'm sure as more information is released, we will definitely bring that to you.
I got one kind of quick T. Boone Pickens story. And it'd be good to get Gottlieb on because I know Doug is really close with him. I know Doug attended the Kentucky Derby with him 1 year. And there was a pretty big Oklahoma State-Nebraska game going on when we were in Stillwater. And Jim and I were there. Doug was there, and he was there in T. Boone Pickens' suite. And so T. Boone had to leave at halftime and go to Dallas, and he was accepting some kind of humanitarian award there that day. And it was really an odd group. Like, you walk in, the Gottlieb invites us in, and sitting there on the right is Jerry Tarkanian. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what Jerry Tarkanian's doing at Oklahoma State-Nebraska game, but he was just there because he was hanging out with Boone Pickens. So this thing is catered to the T. It is dead on the 50-yard line, as you would expect Boone Pickens' suite to be at Oklahoma State. And so they're like, we got to go at half, but you guys are more than welcome to stay in here the rest of the game. I'm like, okay, that'll be great. I'll sit here and watch the rest of the Oklahoma State-Nebraska game from Boone Pickens' suite and enjoy myself. So that was one of the interesting days where it didn't really look like it was going to start out that way, but ended in a pretty good fashion. So rest in peace, Boone Pickens. Dead at the age of 91 today. We'll take a break. I'm at T&W Tire. Dusty is in for Carter Chevrolet. We're going to talk to Jake Trotter coming up next here on the Monsters of the Midday.
The Morning Animals.
I do have some breaking bad news.
Chicken Friends selling cars in that order. Come see the Chicken Guys right across the street from the legendary Eichens. You can get a new 2019 Chevy Cruze for $13,995. 2019 Silverado Crew Cab 4x4, $34,250, and the new lifted Silverados are in at $40,900. Great deals and great people at Carter Chevrolet. Mark's at T&W Tire. Marcus, what's going on?
That's right. Come by and see us. They'll fix your car. If your check engine light is on, they will be happy to diagnose what problems are going on. 40 years, family business that has been successful enough to put business locations in many towns across the Southwest, not only here in Oklahoma. And they do a great job. They've got a couple specials for the Sports Animal listeners. Free flat repairs for passenger vehicles and $30 off all air conditioning services. Not quite time to turn the AC off yet. A little warm. Got out in the yard yesterday, Dusty. Did some maintenance. You would love my backyard.
Maintenance?
I mean, really. Yes. Like, I had some stuff that I had, like, some big weeds that I had to take out, and I had to move some stuff around, and it was hot, man. When I came in, I was lathered up.
Feels good, though, doesn't it? Get that sweat going?
It does. It does. I mean, I can't lie to you. Those are some chores that I have not done in a while, and I've got some certain areas today which probably could use a little attention. So, sore back.
Well,
but it did feel good.
I'm going to tell you, in the 5 years we've been doing the show together, you have picked up your man duties exponentially. So well done by you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're becoming very much a manly man.
Have we heard from Jake Trotter today?
Not to my knowledge, no. He told us that he would be good to go today, but I don't know. You know, wild things going on there in Cleveland, Marcus.
It is wild things. I'm not optimistic about their game on Monday. What do you think?
I know,
you got to pick right now. Would you go Jets, Browns? Jets or Browns?
I told you yesterday I'm taking the Browns just because Vegas still has them as a road favorite. Vegas hasn't given up on them just yet. I'm not going to completely give up on them. If they lose against the Jets on Monday Night Football, I will probably slide over to your side and say, yeah, this could be some real issue. I still think, though, again, what concerns me, obviously, the two you mentioned offensive line, but the other thing that concerns me is just Freddie Kitchens' head coach. But I'm not going to give up on him just yet. But my level of concern is definitely up there, for sure.
That's a good Monday night game. They don't need to booger that one up. You know what I mean? I think there'll be plenty of people tuned in when you put the nation's largest market and Cleveland Browns bounce back game.
Booger it up. Look at you.
After playing so bad.
Well, I can tell you this. There's no chance that they will be as bad as they were on Sunday at home. You know, sometimes it's better to get away from home.
This week.
You know what I mean? Sometimes it's better just to get away from home.
I agree. Especially when your fans are dumping beer on people. They're booing you off the field. That's not an ideal situation. What did you think of the Jets' offense in week one? It's a tough defense they went up against, but they didn't do a very good job of throwing the football down the field against that Buffalo secondary. That's a good win for Brian's Bills, man. If you're going to win the division, you need to win that game on the road.
Brian's Bills. I like that. He definitely went on a limb, didn't he? He was calling big things for Josh Allen, not the pass rusher at Jacksonville, the quarterback in Buffalo.
But they grinded that out. Their defense is that good. It's really good.
No, they are, 100%. No, that's right. They did grind it out. They were down 16-0. 17 unanswered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Came back, and, I mean, that was a huge win. So, and I think we definitely saw some growth from the young quarterback, Josh Allen. Le'Veon Bell was just okay. I think it's kind of ho-hum day. I don't think
he didn't run it with a lot of success.
Wasn't bad, wasn't great. He's just okay. You know, catching some passes like we were accustomed to seeing. Didn't run it at that high of a clip, but I think Le'Veon Bell is going to be just fine. And I do believe from the land of Cleveland, beautiful country there, we have Jake Trotter. What's up, Jake?
What's going on, Dusty? Some sad news out of Oklahoma State with Boone Pickens. I'm sure you guys have been talking about it. I guess the Dallas Morning News reported it a few minutes ago. I actually had the story up on ESPN, or should be up shortly, on Boone and his legacy in college football. And it's crazy to think what Oklahoma State would be without Boone Pickens, because they would not be in the position that they're in now with the facilities and the excitement and the ticket base and the talent access. I mean, you could go down the list. And he's not the only one that's had an impact. I mean, Mike Gundy certainly is right there, but I don't think you can understate the impact that Boone Pickens had, not only on Oklahoma State, but really college football as a whole.
Did you ever get a chance? Were you around him very often? I'll be honest. I've never met T. Boone Pickens, so I've never had any interaction with him. Did you ever interview him for anything you've done, or ever had a chance to be around him, Jake?
I had interviewed him a couple of times. Once, I want to say around the second iteration of realignment, so that would have been around 2012, and then a couple of years later. And, you know, to be honest, I had this grand story idea about Boone Pickens and Mike Gundy that I had been pitching for years to do, and I finally got everybody on board. Mike was on board, Mike Holder was on board, Burns Hargis, the president, I mean, everybody on board. And that's when Boone's health began to slide a little bit with the stroke. And it just never worked out. But there were some legendary back and forth between Mike Gundy and Boone Pickens. And just because they were, they had such great impact in their own regard on Oklahoma State, that doesn't mean they always got along, as you guys well know. But I never really got, not the way that, you know, Barry Trammell, I know, like, someone has slain at least once. Like, Barry knew him way better than probably any of us at the Animal did. But, you know, just a few times here and there. And, I mean, I had gone down to Dallas with the intention of sitting out with Boone for this story. And it got called off at the last minute, and it just never worked out from there. So I had hoped to get to know him a lot better than I did But, you know, sometimes these things just don't work out.
That relationship is very interesting, but it's with two very competitive guys and two guys that wanted to win, I think, kind of at the highest level. And I think that it's – I think at this point in time or at some point in time – I'm sure it would be this way for Boone Pickens, but it would be for Mike Gundy. I would think that they would be able to respect each other and realize, hey, it's not really about who got the credit. It was about all the effort that we put in to make Oklahoma State a great place.
And I think they buried the hatchet for the most part. Like in the last, I want to say
Boone has not been in good health.
No, since I think Boone's health took a turn, and maybe even right up to that point, they had been getting along a lot better. You know, I know Mike had Boone up to spring practice. I can't remember what year it was. I know Mason Rudolph was still there. And, you know, things have gotten a lot better. But, boy, when it was bad, it was really bad between the two. I mean, there's some off-the-record stories I've heard that where it was DEFCON 3 in Stillwater with the power brokers.
Well, very good. Thanks for that. Anything new from Cleveland? I'm going to start to call this Watchgate. I saw the pictures you were posting and the information.
I was all over it, Dusty.
I know. I saw it. I mean, why? I guess I'm having a hard time understanding. Why is Odell Beckham making such a big deal of this? I mean, first of all, why does he want to wear a $200,000 watch? I've seen it anywhere from $190,000 to $350,000. It's an expensive-ass watch.
$190,000.
That we know.
$190,000. 189.
Why is he so compelled to wear it? Is this a publicity stunt? I mean, I don't understand.
Well, Odell Beckham, and I think Baker Mayfield is the same way. OBJ considers himself a brand, right? That's why you do interviews with GQ magazine. You know, that's why you go to Paris for Fashion Week. That's why, I mean, go down the list with Odell. And this is part of his brand, you know, wearing a $200,000 watch during a game. I mean, I don't even know why you would want to wear a watch, $5 watch, $200,000 watch during a game, especially if you're a receiver. Like, I don't know how that helps your ability to catch the ball, but, you know, it's these guys are not just players. They're brands. And this, you know, fashion is part of what Odell considers as part of his brand. Now, I mean, I have really enjoyed Akin Odell since I've come up here. Like, I think he's really interesting. I really respect and appreciate the star power, both on and off the field. He kind of makes my job more fun, you know, just having a guy like that around. You know, one of the most famous people in sports, you know, down the street. But he does this thing where, you know, he's kind of playing the victim card. Like, well, if it was somebody else, it wouldn't have been a big deal. If it, you know, was a $20 watch, it wouldn't have been a big deal. I mean, he doesn't understand, I guess, that if anybody wore a $200,000 watch, it'd be a big deal. Like, and you don't go into that without knowing you're going to cause a stir. So I don't really understand, like, why he feels like the media or the NFL or whomever is singling him out, because you pull a stunt like that, like, you are going to be the focus of conversation. And, you know, it wasn't his day to really talk yesterday, but me and a couple others just went up to him to kind of get some clarification on what the heck is going on with this watch. And he seemed annoyed talking about it, but it's like, you know, this is coming. Like, you know, people are going to talk about it if you do something like this. So the whole thing is pretty strange. He says he's going to wear it Monday night. Like, I reached back out to the NFL. I haven't heard back yet on terms of what they're going to tell him. You know, he's going to talk again tomorrow, I believe, so we'll see if he has a different stance. But it is interesting, and it is unlike anything I've ever covered. But, of course, you know, covering college football, you don't have as much of these kinds of stories.
In the last 4 hours, I'm getting more and more and more carried away every second. Every second that ticks on Odell Beckham's watch, I'm getting more carried away. Because you know who isn't worried about his watch this week and who hasn't slept an hour is Greg Williams with the Jets. I mean, he's going to want to annihilate the Browns. And this guy, I think, is maybe the most
intense competitor, one of the most intense competitors I've ever seen. He's so intense that he can't stay in one place more than a year or 2 years. But wherever he's been in the NFL, his defense has kind of worked. I think the Browns may get railroaded again on Monday night. I mean, this has got to be a little bit of a distraction. I mean, if I lost in the way that I lost and I'm Freddie Kitchens, I would want to say, we're not talking about the stupid watch. No, we're not. I mean, we're going to win. Well, then Freddie's not going to win in the NFL. I mean, like I said, I know that I'm getting thundered up to the extreme here, and the way I believe in this is just not really reality.
Mark has sold all stock in the Browns, Jake.
The Jets are going to roll the Browns on Monday night. Yes.
He went from last Wednesday. We both
I'm higher on the Jets than I am on mint chocolate chip ice cream. I mean, I hope that puts it in perspective for you.
Mark wants to. Wow. Mark has buried him. So just so you know, Jake, I know that's going to hurt your feelings, but
I mean, it doesn't hurt my feelings. It's probably not good for my career if they go 6-10. But I mean, I understand the concern, and that was kind of my concern with this team going into the season. It was, you know, Freddie Kitchens as a first-time head coach, like how he's going to maneuver through adversity and all these big personalities, and he's taking the tack. Like, he's letting his guys do their thing. Like, they are free to do this. You know, they're free to do their GQ magazine articles. They're free to wear $200,000 watches during games. So
there's a great gift from this for Odell Beckham is covering that onside kick. Nah, brand's better than winning. You know, next time.
Well, let me tell you this, Mark. If they do lose Monday night, then they're in real trouble, because if you've seen the schedule, I mean, they've got
Rams,
coming to town. They go to Baltimore. They've got San Francisco, but on a Monday night on the road. Then they've got, like, New England on the road. They've got the Seahawks at home. I mean, like, they can play well and still be, like, 2-6. And at that point, the season's basically over, and you're talking about the biggest disappointment in the NFL. So, like, I picked them to go 10-6. But now you go through and look at the schedule and try to find, you know, even 9 wins, factoring in what happened against Tennessee, and it's not that easy to do. So this is a massive game for the Browns, but it's a massive one for the Jets too, after they collapsed, you know, being up 16-0 on Buffalo. So it's a huge game for both teams, and you know, there's a lot of distractions in Cleveland. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, but Chris Smith, backup defensive end, like, his girlfriend was killed in a crash this morning. You know, he was driving, I think he had a Lamborghini, and they had some kind of accident. She gets out of the car and gets hit by an oncoming vehicle. Just a really tragic story. They just had a daughter together a month ago, so it's awful.
Wow.
And, you know, that's like another thing that this team is dealing with, and that's obviously more serious than a watch or, you know, a GQ magazine article.
Wow. No question. Yeah, we were talking about this. This is a huge, huge game. It's week two, so you don't want to overstate it, but it just feels like the way they started, as you look at that schedule, Monday night is it's an important game, and one that they need to look much more disciplined, and they just need to play better. One thing, though, the reason I haven't fully given up on them is because Vegas hasn't yet either. They are still a road favorite in this game against the Jets, 2.5-point favorite on the road, so we'll see if
they
can get things together.
Two things I like. They still have got a lot of talent. Like, that didn't go anywhere. And I kind of like the idea of Baker in prime time. Baker in prime time has usually been pretty good. So,
well Jets last year, that's where it all started, right? I mean, when he came off the bench and led them to their first victory, and, you know, that was a big deal. He didn't start the game, but he came in and he beat Sam Darnold, and I thought that really kind of got them kind of jump-started. So they need a jump-start right now, though.
Yep, I'm writing about that game actually right now. So that's going to be, I think, Friday or maybe today. I don't know when they're running it exactly, but it was a big moment in Cleveland Browns football history.
No question. All right, Jake, we appreciate it. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Okay, guys.
Jake Trotter, the Iron Man of the sports animal. Mark, I got a tweet here. It's worth reading for sure, from Jim Costello. He said, T-Boone is not just a sports supporter. My daughter is in a graduate school at UT Southwestern in Dallas. Her lab is in the T-Boone Pickens biomedical building. I mean, philanthropy, I think, was a big part of T-Boone Pickens, right, Mark? I mean, not just Oklahoma State athletics to Jim Costello's
everywhere.
Point. We appreciate that tweet.
Everywhere. Yeah. I mean, again, look, he was a risk taker. And I think that, you know, to donate that amount of money was, it was just incredible, for him to be able to amass that kind of fortune and not be afraid to give back as much as he did.
Yeah, no question. I'm in today for Carter Chevrolet, where they're making friends selling cars in that order. New 2019 Chevy Cruze at $13,995. 2019 Silverado Crew Cab 4x4s, $34,250. New lifted Silverado starting at $40,900. Come see the chicken guys in Okarchi at Carter Chevrolet. Mark, you're at T&W Tire.
That's right, 787-6711, set it up. They can fix your car. They can certainly outfit you with tires. We're located just north of Interstate 40 on Council Road. Free flat repairs for passenger vehicles, $30 off all AC services here today at T&W Tire.
More to come on the Monsters of the Midday.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
So your article today was very, very interesting.
Free flat repair for passenger vehicles and just in general, a great place to have your car serviced or tires to be purchased. They've been in business for 40 years. And they do a great job. Matt Ravis is in studio. Breaking news of the day within the hour. Boone Pickens has passed away at the age of 91. A sad story. A lot of reaction online coming in from everywhere. But one of the most influential people, not only on Oklahoma State Athletics, but I think Oklahoma State University and philanthropic endeavors everywhere. And a guy culturally, business-wise, one of the most successful people ever to come out of the state of Oklahoma. Make his mark in the oil field, native of Holdenville. And I know that he means a lot to that community as well. So I know that the ultimate will have plenty on that and the things that he did for Oklahoma State University. So a lot to get into there. So I hope you got to listen to Bob Stoops today. His book hit the shelves and online yesterday. You can purchase those again anywhere where you can find books. You can hear the podcast on our show. I think there's a pretty good interview with Coach. Later on this afternoon, so we can talk about that. Matt, have we missed anything today?
Yes, we have, actually. One bit of interesting news was that the Ohio State University has been denied the trademark for the word "the." The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office denied them that trademark.
Does that mean we're not going to refer to them as the Ohio State University again?
Like, an Ohio State University?
It does separate them from Oklahoma State or Oregon State that, you know, somebody puts the small T in front of the OSU. You know, they're immediately talking about the Buckeyes.
Right.
So I kind of like that reference. It's a little stuck up.
I think Ohio State fans are a little bit happy about this, too, because that's just not a good look.
Yeah. Well, too bad. They have a road game at Indiana this week. But give Ohio State their due. I was a little suspicious of their effort against Cincinnati before the game, and they dominated the Bearcats. So I still think that breaking in some new players, Justin Fields looks really good so far. The Ryan Day passing the reins to him from Urban Meyer doesn't appear to be a huge issue at all right now. And Indiana, have won both of their games against not great competition. Indiana's not a likely place for an upset to happen. They've gotten really close to a couple big ones, but Indiana football is not a bastion of tradition. I went to the Insight Bowl in Tempe, Arizona, and I believe it was in 2007. And Indiana played Oklahoma State. It was a mismatch, pretty much of epic proportions. The Cowboys worked them. And that was the only Indiana bowl game, I think, that they've been to since I was alive. Or maybe one.
Yeah, not a football school.
No, they have not been to a ton of bowl games.
Well, hardly even a basketball school anymore.
As much right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You stole the words right out of my mouth, Matt.
I know, exactly we're on the same wavelength there.
That might be a pretty big win if they could get that done. Check here and just let you know how many bowl games Indiana has been to. Yeah, no, they've been to the 91 Copper Bowl, 93 Independence Bowl, the 07 Insight Bowl. And then they did go to a couple bowl games back-to-back. Last bowl win for Indiana, 1991. They beat Baylor, 24-0. Can you imagine that? Power 5 school, last bowl win, 1991.
Yeah, that would be hard to get up for games like that, or hard to get up for
Indiana
games.
I would say that's got a chance to be the longest streak of bowl futility in Power 5. There's a couple other programs, who would it be, that had not won a bowl game in that amount of time? Can you think of anybody that might rival that? I mean, because you don't have to do anything to go to a bowl game anymore.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Vandy's got bowl wins since then. Wake Forest got bowl wins since then. Everybody in the Big 12 would have. That's got to be it. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. That's the longest streak of not winning a bowl game of anybody in Division I. File that one in the back of your brain for a trivia question at some point.
There we go. No, it's good to know in case I do end up in there. How long did you say it had been? I'm trying to look this up right
1991.
Now. 1991.
That's Kansas, for example. They won a bowl game, the Orange Bowl in 07. Won the Insight Bowl the next year against Minnesota in 08. I'll tell you one that could possibly beat them is Rutgers. When Rutgers was good a couple of years ago, did they win a bowl game?
I can't remember. I'm trying to look this up here. Let's see.
Rutgers won a bunch of bowl games. They won a ton since then. Okay, Indiana football, we just determined. Very feeble. Yeah, it's been bad. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to T&W Tire on this Wednesday. Hope you enjoy the show. The Ultimate joins next here on WWLS Sports Animal. See you tomorrow at 11.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma State versus Tulsa is live.